This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, November 15th. Brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ag panel leaders want to move quickly on farm bill despite extension. IPEF trade pillar announcement delayed and more bad news in climate assessment. Ag panel leaders insist they want to move quickly despite extension. Leaders of the House and Senate Ag Committees insist they'll move ahead as quickly as possible next year to write a new farm bill. But they've effectively given themselves until the end of next year under the farm bill extension that easily passed the House yesterday as a part of the stopgap spending measure. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania says the committee will continue to work with USDA staff and the Congressional Budget Office in crafting key provisions for a new bill. The House will continue to do its due diligence, he told AgriPulse after the 336-95 vote on the stopgap bill and farm bill extension. He has said it will be January at the earliest before the committee moves the legislation. From the opposite side of the Capitol, Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan warns that the prolonged appropriation process, which is now going to extend into February or beyond, could delay work on a farm bill. But she told reporters yesterday her committee could go forward with a bill without waiting on House Ag. Now, keep in mind, neither committee appears to be close to an agreement on some other key issues, including changes to commodity programs. It often takes a hard deadline for lawmakers to cut deals on the more difficult issues. IPEF trade pillar announcement delayed. The Biden administration will not be announcing the completion of the trade pillar for the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework as planned this week because of concerns voiced by lawmakers like Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, a government source told AgriPulse. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative had set an unofficial deadline to complete the trade pillar and the agriculture chapter it contains this week after the conclusion of the seventh round of negotiations ending Sunday in San Francisco. U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai, who was in San Francisco yesterday, did not mention IPEF in a speech she delivered to a meeting of trade ministers. "This thing is not dead," the source said. "A lot of chapters are far along. It's just a matter of when we can announce it." We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Western Caucus members seek answers on WOTUS. Members of the House of Representatives Western Caucus are lending their voices to an effort by industry in about half of the states in the nation to get EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers to trim back their definition of waters of the U.S. Following on the heels of new lawsuits that challenge the agency's attempt to comply with the Supreme Court Sackett decision, 71 caucus members, led by Representative Dan Newhouse of Washington, have written to EPA and the Corps in an attempt to find out how they plan to implement Sackett. Courtney Briggs of the American Farm Bureau Federation, who also is chair of the Waters Advisory Coalition, said in a caucus news release that, quote, "When given the opportunity to deliver the clarity long sought by the regulated community, the federal government instead chose to push forward with a revised WOTUS rule that is mired with vague terms and ambiguous language." Among the questions posed by the lawmakers, how will the Corps of officials interpret the phrase relatively permanent waters? AFBF and other trade groups filed an amended complaint in Texas Monday, along with the states of Texas and Idaho. Two other farm groups, the North Dakota Farm Bureau and the Cass County North Dakota Farm Bureau, filed an amended complaint in North Dakota along with 24 states. You can see today's AgriPulse newsletter for more on the new lawsuits. More bad news and climate assessment released by the government. Yet another report has issued dire warnings about the impacts of climate change on the world, including agricultural productivity. The federal government's National Climate Assessment said lower corn yields in the Midwest, quote, are linked to rapid shifts between wet and dry conditions and stresses from climate-induced increases in pests and pathogens. Between 1981 and 2016, corn yield losses from flooding, quote, were comparable to those from extreme drought. In addition, extreme heat and more intense wildfire and drought in the Southwest already threatening agriculture worker health, reducing cattle production, and damaging wineries. Sustainable agriculture practices can help. Crop production could be more resilient to climate changes if soil were healthier than at the present, but the speed with which such a transformation is possible using an agroecological approach remains unknown, the report said. Future water availability has a major impact on soil health, and forecasting this will be a challenge. Lawmakers seek better accounting of specialty crop trade barriers. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Ron Wyden of Oregon and top Republican Mike Crapo of Idaho yesterday unveiled new legislation to compel USDA and USTR to produce a more comprehensive and detailed annual report on all of the trade barriers facing specialty crop exporters. Representatives David Valadao of California, Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, and Suzanne Bamamisi of Oregon will be introducing a similar bill in the House, Crapo said in a statement. The world is hungry for grown in the U.S. blueberries, potatoes, wine, and other produce, said Wyden. But all too often our farmers and producers are stymied by unreasonable blockades in foreign markets. Our bipartisan bill will help rural Americans by identifying unfair foreign trade barriers and creating specific plans to cut through that red tape. The Senate bill, the Specialty Crops Reporting on Opportunities and Promotion Act, is co-sponsored by Senators Jim Risch of Idaho, Maria Cantwell of Washington, Susan Collins of Maine, and Angus King of Maine. Cantor touts Department of Justice recent ag work in House Judiciary hearing. Jonathan Cantor, the head of the Justice Department's antitrust division, touted the consent decree the agency signed with Cook Foods last week that halted the company's assessment of exit penalties on poultry growers that leave for other competitors as an example of its work on agricultural consolidation during a House Judiciary antitrust hearing yesterday. These issues matter, Cantor said as he rattled off a list of other agriculture lawsuits that the agency has filed, including one against AgriStats. He also said it's been visiting with farmers to hear their concerns. I think we have been more active with respect to protecting farmers and family farmers than we have been over a century, Cantor told lawmakers. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, November 15th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.